Father, thank you for this morning. The entrance of your word will always give light and understanding. I pray that you will reach out to us by your spirit and fix every broken family and prepare the young ones for the home you have for them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's be seated. Thank you. This morning I have, as you can guess, I have so much to say, but I'm trying to, within the time frame, and I need to check my time now, within the time that I have been given, I'm going to try to focus basically, within the time I have, I'm going to focus on maturity process in marriage. Maturity process in marriage. Now, for those of you who were here yesterday, you remember some of the things that we shared. And one of it I will try to get you understand, because within the context of the home, you know, it's more triangular in nature. In a triangle, okay? In a triangle this way. In a triangle, you find God at the top of the union. And then you see the husband here and the woman there. And then you say, where are the children? They are at the center. And you need to understand that you must try this hard. In case you have missed it before this time, or you don't know, or those who want to go into marriage, or little ones, what we say will get into your spirit. You must never allow the children to occupy the other end or any of the ends in the triangle of your life. They must always be at the center. You know, because you know, I don't know if they do that here. Okay, I think they do. Whereby the man calls his wife honey and queen and whatever name, and then they get married and he becomes Mama Chioma. I know it doesn't happen in this church, it's somewhere else. It happened in the last church I pastored. So, you know, and then it becomes Mama so and so. The pet name I call my wife is what our children call her, is what my family, my father, everybody, they call her the same pet name. You know, and we started that the day we got married. You know, I used to call her Yami, you know, Ya is mother, but a variation of, like you say, mom, mommy, mama and all that. So I just call her, you know, more like my affectionate mother. That's the way I call her from the day we got married. And that's the name the children call, that's the name everybody calls her. And we've had, you know, children. Outsiders can call her Mama so-and-so. She's not Mama so-and-so to me. She is that person she has always been. And when you define everybody's role, and you see that the children don't come in between two of you, then it binds the relationship. The children will always know their responsibility. One of the things that we settled very early in marriage was the fact that if she is correcting the children or she's disciplining the children, even if I don't agree with the methods or the process, I naturally will take side with her. We will fix it up. We will talk about it later. But the children cannot hear discordant tones. They can't hear two different voices. So we are constantly speaking together. And, you know, she is a lot more, I am more diplomatic and meticulous. I'm careful how I go. And I say a few things. And she will go at it just like that. And so, when the young men are there, or if they are women, those who come around, I said, please do this. When mom comes, she's going to be happy. But if you fail to do this well, when she gets on your case, I will disown you officially, and I will be on her side. And I remember my girl said, you don't need to say that. We know you are always on your wife's side. They know that as far as the children are concerned, I'm not going to take side. Now, there's a maturity process. And because we were blessed with only boys. We didn't have a girl. Partly because my wife always said, I don't like girls. I don't like baby girls. I just want boys. And I always said to her, you need a girl in the house. I'm glad we have one now. Not biologically, we adopted one, but I'm good. You need a girl. And she doesn't, you know, she said, I don't like women. Well, we had all the three boys. Before I remembered that 5 years before I married her, the Lord had already told me we're going to have three boys and gave me their names. And they were written down. So while I was praying for baby girl, she that did not know about the prophetic words was taking a stand against it. She was in alignment with God. But when the children began to grow, and you know, mothers don't think their children have grown up. Sometimes they don't even know their husbands were grown up before they came to marry them. Now I know these women are Holy Ghost filled, so don't worry, it doesn't happen here. How many of you have reminded your wife that, do you remember I'm your husband? And it looks like, you know, because for them, the maternal instinct is always protective. Whatever is in their care, they want to protect. They want to, and so you didn't button up your shirt well. If you go out now, they are going to say, don't you have, hasn't he got a wife at home? Didn't the wife see it? And they will be sending insult to me because you didn't dress well. And she just forgot, she's talking to her husband that this man was dressing before he came to the father to ask for her hand in marriage. But now she has come, she's taking over the responsibility of even dressing the husband. No, I know you guys are free from that here. Those ones are in Abuja where I come from. But you see, maturity process helps you understand how the woman thinks. That it is not because she hates you. It's just trying to be protective of what is kept in her custody. Do you understand that? And like I said yesterday, a lot of men are always having the trouble. I'm going to read scriptures, don't worry. But a lot of men always have the trouble of, you know, saying, that's the problem with my wife. She never let anything go. She always... And I said to you, even when she's repeating issues, it's not that she's keeping malice with you. That's the way they are wired. A woman is wired to do, they can do so many things at the same time. You know, they can multitask. And in that same vein, they can let things go when they want you to let it, but every time you press the button, they remember, you know, they just tell you your life history. Because in her brain, everything is sewn together. Everything. When you say love, it's connected. When you say money, it's connected. When you say children, it's connected. When you say her parents, everything. And the cable, I don't know, the cable that is why it's all connected. So you've been married now for 30 years, and she says, give me $5. I said, there's no money now. Woo! Then she will remember the day of her birthday, you forgot. Our anniversary, you forgot. And you say, there's no money. Then when the children wanted to go, there's no money. When my father was sick, there's no money. And in fact, when we went to pay my dowry, my brother saw that you were going to complain about money 30 years ago. And the man is unable to understand. I said, what is wrong? Are you not a child of... Are you not a child of God? How can you remember? So you are keeping malice. She's not keeping malice. It's just that all the events that happens around her are all wired together. So the moment you pull a trigger, everything just continues to play. Because to a woman, every matter is connected. Nothing happens in isolation. You say there is no money, that is how you are going to say there is no this one. And then if something happens to me tomorrow, if I fall sick, you will not be there. And this happened, and then this one happened. And it's just all over the place. So you say that the man will accuse her of not forgetting anything. The truth is that she did not remember until that thing happens. And once it happens, all the cables are alive. They just come alive. But the man, on the other hand, who has his, everything about him is all one side, you know. Have you noticed, women, that when you talk to your husband, you told him something, maybe once, and then you later say, I told you, and the man says, you didn't tell me. Does it happen in this church? That means the women are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the woman, and I remember Brother Chidi was asking me yesterday. He said, "So what happened? We canceled the case, and the man, why is it that your wife will say, 'I told you,' and you say you didn't tell?" I said, "You know what? The women don't realize that men are just, we have boxes for everything. Everything happens. That's why when there's an incident between husband and wife or the children, the man wants us to talk about what happened. And then the woman is digging the history of the world from that same evening. And then the man said, no, we have to leave the history of the world, of the day I was born, just talk about this. Because in the man's brain, everything has is compartmentalized. Every incident is just in a box, in a box. And there is one box that doesn't carry anything. That one is when the man is tired, he will just be looking. And then, if you come as a woman and say, sweetie, that thing I told you about it, it's not going to work. He won't understand what you say. If the man is calculating some, you know, money, or she's doing something, or watching television, if you tell him this, this is one way to solve the problem. Women, when you are talking to your husband, demand a response. Until he has said something, he doesn't hear you. Because they don't do things, two things at the same time. If they try to do two things at the same time, they will mess it up. So man is very focused on whatever. We are go-getters, we just want whatever. I mean, God have mercy when the man says, "Well, we have to go to Mount Zion today." Okay? And you are on the way to Mount Zion, and the woman remember the widow that needs food. And he said, "Please, when we finish, when we arrive back from Mount Zion, you know, don't forget." You say, "Shut up, you hold our mouth. Don't talk about widow. Somebody needs care. Just be quiet. Let's travel first." I'm speaking in code now. Does it happen here? That you are wondering this holy moment of going to Mount Zion, just keep quiet. Our brain is still able to figure out something. That don't forget that in the village we need to buy some rice and send to Papa in the village and all that. What is wrong with you? You say, "Keep quiet, don't talk. This is a holy moment." Now, the man cannot. And because of that, whenever you speak it, he already has something in his mind. That is what he's hearing, whatever you're saying. And you know, if you know anything about a man, you say, "How much do you need?" You say, 50, you say 500, take 2,000 naira, so that you can get you off his back to focus on what he's doing. Now, when you come back later and say, "I told you this," you say, "What was I doing that?" And say, "You were listening to what music." He said, "You know that I didn't hear you. If I was doing this, I didn't hear you." So, men don't hear one thing, they don't hear at once. That's because their mind is always focused on one thing. So you have to be sure you get their mind into the conversation before you can tell them. So my wife says something like, he said, "I told you so and so. I told you." In fact, I said, "What was I doing at that time?" He said, "You were holding your iPad, you were looking at it." I said, "And what was my response?" He said, "You didn't talk. Then you didn't tell me." You probably were saying some of those things. And men have a way of locking. They say it's women talk. We don't respond to every woman talk. Once we put whatever you are saying in woman talk, we don't hear you again. So you have to demand. So my wife now has learned the principle when she's talking. And they listen, and she said, I say, "That's all right. That's all right." And then she will say, "No, I want you to answer me." I said, "Okay, okay, what did you say?" Now she has spoken twice. And then she now repeats, because she is now insisting, she's learned that this man, once he's doing something, he's not going to listen to what I'm saying. You have to say it again. And say it, and because I'm going to ask her, "When you told me, what was my response?" Because I should have a response for you. So you must demand, for women, demand a response from your husband if you have to tell him that. And the reason I had to share that is because of Bro Chinedu, who asked this question. Make sure he says something. That is the only time he will remember that. Now, when you're talking about maturity in marriage, it's a process. You need to understand that you come into marriage, as a matter of fact, you know, in our culture, if a man appears irresponsible, they say, marry a wife for him. Because it's believed that if you are responsible enough to, you know, to have a wife and raise a family, it will direct your thought, it will help to govern your lifestyle. Now, maturity is not what, we do not come from heaven with maturity. It's a process. Let's speak somewhere in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version I'm going to read. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. For their minds plot oppression and devise violence, and their lips talk of cursing trouble and vexation. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, that is a life, a home, and a family is built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall each chambers of every area be filled with precious and pleasant riches. So we are introduced to three things here. We're introduced to wisdom, we're introduced to knowledge, and we're introduced to understanding. Understanding is the intelligence, is harnessing. Wisdom, you know, here is it. Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is knowing how to do it. Knowledge, knowing what to do. Wisdom, knowing how to do it. Understanding is harnessing the goodwill and the resources available at your disposal for the implementation of the intended purpose. So, the foundation of good relationship, to be able to mature in a relationship, is not only built on trust, it's also built on wisdom. Wisdom to understand, to study your partner. Wisdom to understand the people at home. Wisdom to understand the children. You're going to need that as you begin to build up, because the children also are watching. Let me tell you something very foundational that a lot of us don't know. The kind of, if you have a baby girl, much as you try, whenever he is going to get married, he will be attracted to the type of man the father is. If he's an abuser, if he's a violent man, if he's a... he's going to see that as the ideal man. And you will have shaped her mindset, you will have shaped her self-esteem. And those who eventually get married different from their father, because they feel their father was too bad, was too wicked or whatever, and they get married to somebody else, they fight the husband they married, they're fighting the father in their husband. I'm not going to let any man treat me the way my mother suffered with my father did, and all that. And the man is saying, but I didn't treat you the way your father treated your mother. So you need to just, and every day, so that even if she could have enjoyed, even though she could have enjoyed that marriage, because of the imagery of the father that is seen in the man, is making the man pay for the sins of the father. So, literally, because he was unable to defend the mother with the father, now he begins to defend the mother with her husband. And the man is suffering for what he doesn't understand. So, maturity comes in understanding the others, as well as the young men at home. The way you treat their mother, the kind of woman she is the kind of woman they get attracted to. You know, I couldn't get out of my father's house fast enough. I just wanted to go away from my mother. Because I don't know how to play football today, because she won't let me go. You know, she had the first three of us were boys, and the girl came long after me. So when my mates were running around and my contemporaries were playing ball, she would call me and to come and sit with her. And that's why I know how to cook. I cook very well. Because that's what I learned from her. and I can cook just about anything I want to eat. Anything. She taught me all that. And when she said, look, I said, look, I need to go and play ball. She said, don't talk like that. She asked me to come. She will give me fish. Now, bribery is not good, but it opens the door for you. She gives me fish while I'm eating that. She says, can you do this for me? And then, so eventually, I learned to stay more in the kitchen than I learned to stay on football field. That's why I cook. I taught all our children how to cook. All my boys. So, as of today, my wife actually cooks maybe 10% of all the meat we eat in a year. And the boys are the ones cooking. They own the kitchen. You know, we have those of them who are at home. If you come to our home, you just know how to cook. You've got to learn how to cook, and I will be the one to teach. Well, we got our girl and all that, and I taught her how to cook. I spent time with her now because that's my hobby. I just love it. And in fact, when I'm part of the process of cooking, I enjoy the meal more. You know, and eventually I got married to a woman. Now, I know some of you are going to hold your husband and say, did you hear what he said? Okay, I can solve that problem for men who don't know how to cook. By the order of reverence, I want to ask for permission. Once in a year, all the men, especially on Family Day, all the... Oh. Whoever is your husband has gotten the message. at least once in a month, the man should take over the kitchen. Just take over the kitchen. Let me tell you this. These women are so kind and generous. Even if you didn't cook it well, they will eat it because it came from you. Come on, women, can you clap if I'm right? Now you get the message. So at least once in a week, in a month, you should just take over the kitchen, just, you know, do something and just let her sit down and serve her. You know, the way we do it in our home is quite easy. And the rule is this, whoever is not at home, the food is first served. If I'm not at home, my food is served. Mommy's food is served. And when she comes back and I'm the one at home, I embrace her at the door and collect her handbag if I'm home. And she comes in and I say, are you ready for your food now? Okay, go serve her. And all that. If you want him to treat you like a king, treat her like a queen. Reverend, these women want to follow me, go to Abuja now. So now I couldn't get out of my mother's home on time because I thought I was done with that. You know what? When I went to pray to God and God showed me my wife, I got the hand of my mother again. And eventually, I realized that I was actually attracted to all the qualities in her. Because I just said, Mama, your wahala is too much. She would see someone passing by the road. She said, do you see the way that man is walking? He's tired. Go and give him a cup of water and go lie down. I said, what's your problem? You know, he's just always looking for problems. And she sympathizes. And I remember a day I visited a woman. One woman or somebody was crying. And a woman was crying. And my mother just entered into the fridge. She didn't know why the woman was crying. She just joined and started crying. So I said, Mama, why are you crying? He said, that's a foolish question to ask. If an elderly person is crying, don't you know that maybe she has lost something very precious? I said, and what is that? What if it is mama she just lost? Couldn't you have put hand in your pocket and paid for that? Find out why they are crying before you cry. When I got married, my wife, I just discovered she's a recruiter of people's problems. And every day she has a list of problems she wants me to solve. I said, there's one person who should die for the world to be saved. His name is Jesus. He has already died. Leave me out of this. I want to sleep. I remember one, so I had an event that really changed my life or my thought. I just was traveling and I told her, I said, at least in the next 1 month before I return from the U.S., you'll have had a list of the problems happening in the world that I need to solve. But I'm going. I got to New York, and as my host picked me at the airport, I will go home. The woman is just exactly like my wife. oh, have you eaten? Oh, your feet needs massage. You need this. And I said, God, I just left one at home. They said, oh, you are going. Oh, those people, they are white people. Ha, they used to have gone. Hey, what is going to happen now? Please give me the address. Let me see their picture. Let them be my friend on Facebook. Give me phone. Those that, and I said, oh, God, what am I doing here now? So I left. I traveled to another state, and my host there are white. And as soon as I was arriving, the woman said, oh, brother, are you prepared for the winter? I said, yes. He said, let me see your suit. And then he said, oh, this is not good enough. She removed the suit from her back and put another one. He said, how about your socks? And I said, this is what I ran away from home and ran away from New York. I'm meeting this one here again. She was all over me, took me to shop, bought everything. And then I left and I went to my cousin sister's place in 3 hours trip in another state. And as I go, oh my brother, you have arrived. What are we going to do? But and I said, so then it hit me that in God's mind, there are certain kind of women that have to be in your life so that you can be who God wants you to be. And you need to realize that, that if God has given you this, you just mature with, I mean, and enjoy the process that God has put them to accomplish in your life. And so you need to be careful how you handle your wife and how you handle your husband, because your children will look for that, their partner, just like the one you do. And if you treat your husband like garbage, I'm telling you, when your daughter comes up, he's going to act worse. Because, you see, it was easy for Solomon, for David to marry a few wives, maybe kill somebody to marry his wife. When Solomon comes, he will triple everything Solomon, David did. So your children will do it worse or better, depending on the foundation you give them. Do you understand that? And so one area you need to understand, now, if you are not yet married, the young people, you need to understand, number one, you need physical and emotional maturity. Physical maturity has to do with, you know, you growing up and understanding what life is all about. And, you know, these days, keeping beer is the in thing. And I have a couple of young men around me, and my wife will say, no, they need to shave their beard, they're not looking good. And I say, why? You don't know what it is. You don't know what it means, how long it takes to grow beard. I do. I say, so allow them to fellowship with their beard. When they mature, when they mature enough and they don't have enough time, they will shave their beard. Just allow them. If they want it, just leave it there. I said, this thing, it takes a long. Men look forward to that time it comes. Just allow them. And he said, but you are not keeping beard. I said, well, I kept before. Until the church I was going said I was not pure. I was not holy enough. I had to shave my mustache. And because I was having beard, they think I wasn't holy. Well, I don't know what holiness has to do with keeping beard, you know. But in any case, we had to go through, and I said to them, young men, keep your beard. Shave it if you want. Carve it if you want. But remember, growing beard is not an evidence of maturity. You are not yet mature until you have a permanent address. If you are still using my address, you are not yet mature. You say, daddy, can you lift me up with transport? You are not yet mature. I shouldn't be lifting you up with transport. You should be earning your transport there. So you need a permanent address. Those are signs of maturity. But emotional maturity is where we have challenge. A lot of us do not allow ourselves to mature emotionally. And usually, according to according to science and neurologists and all that, the brain gets functionally mature, especially the frontal lobe, where the reasoning comes from 25. A lot of people have grown in age, but they're not emotionally mature because we react to everything. Now, I just gave the illustration. If every matter is connected in the brain of a woman, when she goes on telling you the history of the day you were born, you should not react because you know that's the way she processes information. And so maturity is going to help you understand that. They don't tell stories the same way. You know, we just read the Amplified Version. Do you see the words? A woman doesn't give you things the same way you give them. If they repeat the story of what you told them, oh my God, it's already out of this world. They say it differently. They amplify it. You know, even if you give them your seed, they're going to bring out a baby for you, you know. So you need to understand the way, and so maturity helps you know how to deal with your spouse, understand their needs, and then emotional maturity helps you stabilize it. You can't just go off and get angry and fight. It requires wisdom. And men that hit their wives, men that abuse and insult their wives, push them around, they don't understand what emotional maturity is. Real men walk away from a fight. You know, I use that to teach my kids. And, you know, when they were younger and, you know, they had these challenges and they were talking and they were arguing. And I asked them, why this loud argument? What's going on? They said, well, this one, that one said this. And I said, okay, if mommy and I are having a conversation and the voice is louder than mine, what do I do? They say, you keep quiet. And if the place become uncomfortable for me, or if I feel that my being there might not be helpful, what do I do? They say, you walk away. Why don't you walk away from your brother? I said, why don't you walk away from him when his voice was getting too loud for your liking? Real men walk away, not because we're afraid, but because we're allowing, you know, she could be going through emotion. And most men don't understand that women have so many emotions coming in at the same time. For every time she comes to her monthly cycle, it carries some different emotion. When she's ovulating, there's an emotion that is different from when the period is on. There's an emotion different. You don't have that. You're just a straight man. Just go one way. And then when she becomes grumpy and she's too sensitive or moody, you say, that's your problem. Always look, carry your face up. Maybe that spirit has come on you now. You don't even understand that there are neurological changes going on in her body. And then I know the women, and I say, tell them. I see some of them saying, they won't know that. Tell them. And I know, you know, some of you also don't understand that childbirth also takes another toll on them. And that after giving birth to children, between the time they give birth to these, and some of them don't have time, enough time, we don't allow them enough time to really recover their body and recover their mind, settle to become normal. So that if he's having three children and she's done that in 8 years or 7 years or 9 years, as the case may be, by the time she's through, it takes almost another 6, 7, or 8 years for all her body to reset. And the brain emotionally to reset. Now, in process of this resetting, she's getting closer to menopause. A different emotion is coming up. And then she's feeling hot flushes. She wants the air conditioner and the fan on. The man says, you want to kill me? I don't need this air conditioner. I don't need that and all that. And this is happening. And so everybody has different needs. And then most men are not mature enough to know that this woman is going through changes. And they go through more changes than we do. We do go through changes too, according to our age, but their emotion, you know, because of their cycle, because of the, you know, menopause, because of the processes, they tend to go through more emotional changes, which is the responsibility of the man, for instance, in this case, to understand how it is working and see how to, you know, how to help balance the situation and not aggravate it at the time. So emotional maturity is important. The next one is independence maturity. You know, parents expect their children to grow up and be able to go and live on their own, build their own homes and all that. Now, we mentioned something along that yesterday. If you subject everything you say and do to the counsel and to the advice of your father or mother, and you are closer to them than you are to your spouse, you will talk to them as against talking to your spouse, you are creating a monster. It's going to damage that home. The home will never mature. You need to know that if you are leaving your parents, you need to cleave. The word cleave is the word that is used for glue. It's like using super glue or aradite, so that if you want to tear any part of the part cleaving, you will be damaging it too. That is what cleaving is all about. Coming to a point where you know that you are so yoked together with this woman that you become one, that anyone who tries to separate either of you will be causing damage. You should be comfortable to discuss your parents' issues with that. It should be comfortable. I gave you an illustration. My wife is the one who worries about my family, and I worry about hers. I mean, even if you say that, but you send money to this and there's no money, they do. I said, no, don't talk like that. You need to this. God placed you here. You go do this. You do that. You do that. And I take it. Sometimes I say, get so and so to send me the accounts and all that. And I send money to her, to them, without her knowing it. I do that behind her, and they will call her while they're thanking her. She says, what happened? So and so called, thanking me. I say, well, I sent something to them. Her people, she sent things to my people without my knowing it. You see, in such cases, you can't penetrate in between. And so we need to understand that, you know, this physical cleaving coming together maturely, understanding that you can't allow yourself to be closer to your parents or your siblings than you are to your wife is essential, because you're going to need it as the day goes on. So independence, maturity is essential. You need to be so independent minded that you'll be able to take decision only limited to you and your family, your wife alone, and where the children are mature enough and they need to be involved, then you bring them into it. The other one is financial maturity. We mentioned that a few days ago, I think that was on Friday, and which is the fact that a lot of people say women is all about money. And I asked you the question, how many things can you do without money? How many things can you do without money? Look at the way most of us do things. The woman has made a budget and she has to go to the market and all that. And the budget is 4,000 naira. And you give her 4,000 naira. Years ago, I learned never to do that with my wife, because nothing is ever the same. And there are many reasons you can do that. So if they come in to me and they say, we go to market, we need this, it's 5,000. I usually give them 7,000 or 8. The reason is this. When she was making that list, there were things that the home needed that she would not remember. She would get to that place and find out that these things is necessary. Your women are telling me. Yeah. Mommy said correct. So then again, you could get to the market, because you don't go often to this department that she's going to the market. She will get there, the prices have changed. She can come back home to give you another list. Don't be difficult. Just give her some play, some girls' money, something extra on top to play with. Come on now. Oh my God. Oh my God, these women. Oh, come on now. Tell them. You know, you just need to be very reasonable with this. It's not a, you are not being, you know, we are not in a first world where things are stable. If you go to London, if you go to United States, prices don't change too quickly. Sometimes in the spring, in the period of a year or 2 years or 3 years, it's just 5 cents or 10 cents. It doesn't change. In our market, it changes every day and it doesn't come back. It doesn't come down to the former price. So you can't give her the 5,000 you used to give. You need to double that money.
Yes, sir.
So financial maturity, see, one of the signs, one of the evidence of good fatherhood is deep pocket. Go get some job. If you need additional work, you need to do that so that the woman will be happy. You may not be able to provide everything she needs. And let me tell you something. If you don't do it willingly, she will make you do it some other ways. She will make you do it some other ways. And when she brings the bill, it will be so good, it will be so clean. I handled the case not long ago in Abuja. This lady, this man, when he comes back from market, he has a box where he keeps the money, you know, because he's returning the night, before he goes to the market, the bank the following day or whatever. And this lady will say, I need money to buy food, and others, and the guy will not. And we will not, he will just give maybe 1,500 and this. So as the man just goes to take a shower or he is gone out, he did not know the woman knows the code to the box, has the key. She will go in there and pick what she needs and lock it neatly, and she goes. Now, the man comes by the following day, counting the money 10 times to say, is it that I miss it? And he's unable to ask the woman, did you take money? Because he said there was no money. And he didn't share the secret of where the key was to this woman. So he's counting. He said, the woman will just be going. I said, so how do you do? He said, daddy, I'm very busy. He said, I'll just be going about like flies and I don't have any business. The following day, one time, the guy went to change the key. The woman discovered, see, women, respect them. The woman discovered exactly what the new key was. We'll go there, it will take not too much, exactly what she needs. I want to make my hair. Now, the woman wants to make her hair to look good for you. What's wrong with you? Okay. Just, if she asks for 3,000, give her 7,000. She needs it. Okay, we won't talk about it. We are going on now. So, you know, so my financial maturity is essential. You need to understand. You need to understand. You, look, who else is going to spoil your wife but you? You make it hard. You know, if she looks good, you feel good about it. I mean, whatever it takes, whatever she needs to look gorgeous for you, do it in the name of the Lord. Hey, you don't know anything other than to spend money. Before uncle, what do you do with money? Is it not to spend money? You travel and say, I saw this tie, I bought it. They say, doesn't it look good on her? It doesn't look good on you until she has something also. And if you don't know her size, then when you come back, give it to her and say, this is yours. And you always be charging your phone and your wife doesn't have airtime to call. Why on earth can you not recharge through your bank? You can use your bank, you can use your phone to charge her phone through your bank. And she will get me to you. You say, sweetie, did you get this? I just sent whatever. Or you buy the something, if you want her to appreciate, go buy the card and give it to her. You know, I remember I still buy it up to today. I still buy airtime as often as I can for my wife. And one day she just told me, she said, it's been a while since you bought me airtime. I said, oh, I'm sorry, it's oversight. Hey, boys, go and get mommy airtime right now. No, at the end of the day, she's somewhere. You want her to call you. She doesn't need to ask you. It's your prerogative. And it gives joy to the man when your wife is feeling comfortable. And when she goes about, look, when my wife tells her colleagues and say, and they said, ah, your perfume smells so good. He said, thank you. So what's the name? Where did you buy it? He said, my husband bought it for me whenever he travels. He always buys my perfume. He said, what's the name? He said, I don't know. It's only my husband who knows the name. Another, he said, what? Your husband buys perfume for you? And then she called and said, please, help me check. I said, you have the bottle there. Write the name and show them. He said, you know, you are the one who taught me. I don't know about that. And then the people say, oh, your husband did. Many of our colleagues want to come to our house to come and say, oh God, thank you so much the way you did take care of Madame. Guess what? My head. So at the end, she's not doing it for herself, she's doing it for you. And so you don't have to be stingy about that. Financial maturity is knowing when to spend money. If the woman wants to care for herself, look good, smell good, it's your job. And if it is a woman that has a thing, or sometimes another challenge, the other flip side is that sometimes men do not know what they even need. For instance, myself, yours truly. I don't even know when I need to change my shirt. I don't know when. Sometimes my wife just said, this is not okay. Before I came here, she just went to the market and came back and said, please come and check this thing for me. And I said, what is it? And I saw she's put on some track suits. You know, some track suits and all that. She said, I bought this for you. And I said, oh, so kind of you. He said, well, you gave me the money. I said, it doesn't matter that you pick this for me. It's okay. Thank you. He said, but it doesn't look like it. Look away from what it doesn't look like. Let's just celebrate. You got something. He said, but, oh no, this, I said, shh, thank you, thank you. And so she picks my suit, she picks my shirt, she picks my whatever, and she just buys those things. And when she comes back and says, well, I saw this and I bought them for you. Guess what? You get rewarded more. Let's begin to get out of selfishness in financial issues and look after each other. Look after the man, and the man look after the woman. And if I say, ah, you know, woman, you're looking gorgeous and all that thing, the man will say, that's my wife. But if they say, ah, madam, sorry, your cloth tear on that. Sorry, what happened? Is it tax there or this one? The man just increases his steps. Because you do not want embarrassment coming from her. If you don't want, then you have to do your job. And listen, if your husband is not well dressed, the insult comes back to you. So you need to know what is good for her. You know what I mean? And if the man is wearing yellow on top of green and black and together, and he's putting on rainbow color, it's your job to say, you are not going out of this. All right, let's go on. The spiritual maturity. We need to understand that spiritual maturity requires you to be able to guide the people, to be able to lead, you know, each other, support each other. There are instances whereby the man might just be weak, the man might not be as prayerful as he used to be, or he might just, you know, become too busy, that the woman will have to step in and say, look, I think our prayer life is affected. I think things are not okay now. I think we need to pray more. We need to step up. You need to be spiritually mature. And this is what is essential before a young person thinks of getting into marriage. You don't want to think about marriage when you are not spiritually sound. When your spiritual values are weak and things are not in order, you need to talk about, you know, your spirituality, because at the end of the day, your relationship with God is the one that will see you through all difficulties. You know, Reverend just mentioned something now. He's, thank God for God, he doesn't fail. Systems fail. I mean, I almost missed the first day on a Friday. And yet I was at the airport, they changed the flight twice, they changed the third, I think about the third or the fourth time. By the time we got to the hotel, it was 20 minutes after 5. And the program started 5 here. Just because the system doesn't work. So there are times that things can stress your partner, that your spirituality is the way it goes. And here also, you remember what it says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and after he is grown, he will not depart from it. So you need to understand that spirituality is essential. I don't mean religion. I mean spirituality. Letting them know in the Lord and bringing that up even with the children. Then there is something you call the ruler principle. Ruler is not just the ruler. It's ruler with double L. R-U-L-L-E-R. That is ruler. I'm going to speed up because I have just a couple of minutes more now. I'm exactly having 20 minutes to go now. Ruler, which is R-U-L-L-E-R. Now here is how I define it. The first R is for respect. All parties in a relationship, even your children, even your husband, your wife, needs respect. You must respect a couple of things. You know, I don't know if it happens where the children, you know, they have grown up to, but they are now teenagers and they have a room in your house. And I found out that many moms run foul of this. They just go to open the door. Whether it's a boy or a girl, you don't just go to, you knock before you get in there. The Bible says children should obey your parents in law. Parents, don't aggravate your children. If you have already grown up to a particular point, they are teenagers and all that, you knock before you enter the room. You don't just open this. It might be undressing. And you know, in their teenage years, they have this consciousness. They are becoming self-aware. You know, self-awareness and consciousness. And therefore, you know, most parents, one thing they do, they just speak to their children. They talk to them in front of visitors. Because I told you to do this, and then you just rebuke them. And they don't feel offended as children until they get into these teenage years, and they begin to say, Mom, why do you always talk to me when people are around? He says, is it because a small boy like you is talking? He's not small boy anymore. He's coming to self-awareness. So create time to have conversation with him. Because correction or criticism is like surgery. The doctors are smart enough not to do any surgery on you, perform any surgery on you, until they deaden the flesh. They have to kill the area or even knock you off completely so you are not aware. and they dirty that area so that when they do the work, when they are removing whatever is wrong, you don't feel it. So if you want to correct your children, you need to understand that the children equally require some measure of respect. Is that okay? Now let's move on. Under respect, number one, you must respect individuals. You must respect the other party's individuality. Everybody is sent to this world with a destiny, with purpose, with goals, with aspiration, desires, interests, and their personal makeup. So you have to understand that your wife did not lose her individuality when she got married. She didn't lose that. She cannot forget that she exists. This is one of the reasons I found that marriages that are 15, 20 years down the road, they get broken. And you know why they break down? Part of the reason is that the woman had been made to forget her individuality. Then after having children and getting to a point, she begins to come to the realization, when am I going to become somebody? When am I going to live for myself? When am I going to accomplish? And then they begin to rebel. And you say, oh, you are following bad friends. No, she's coming to become aware that what you thought you killed, which is her individuality and interest and destiny, is coming back in an old age. And then she wants to be independent. She said, okay, I've given back to children. The children have grown up. Is this sex? I've had enough. I just want to be myself. You know? So you need to understand that she's an individual. She has a mind of her own. He has a mind of his own. And you cannot continue to, you know, try to run everything. You need to give them opportunity to express themselves. The other thing to respect is personal space. There are times that, you know, when you got married newly, you want to be with your wife 24/7. You just hold each other and you want to walk. But the older you get in the relationship, sometimes you feel like being alone. The woman feels that. The man feels that. I just want to be alone. Sometimes my wife just, and I say, you still lying down? He said, I just want to be alone. I don't want to talk. I make sure I shut the door behind. When some people want to go to a room, I say, where are you going? I'm in my library. I say, where are you going? I say, I want to see mommy. I say, mommy wants to be alone. Don't go there. Until she comes out all by herself, don't go there. You need to respect individual space. You know, you know that the older you get, sometimes you might even need, you know, you sleep on the same bed, you hold each other, and then as you get longer in the relationship, somehow you find that there's a need for utility room. The utility room is the room that she or you can make use of when the other party wants to be alone. Now, we didn't teach that before. We are teaching it now. I hope you are getting revelation. Look at this. Look at it this way. For instance, okay, my wife's request is that when you build a home and you're moving out there, give me a room and give me a library. He said, allow me to use my library and scatter it the way I want, so that I can find whatever I want anytime and all that. And then why does she need a room? He said, if I stay with you, now here is it. Once she comes back from work and she has eaten, in the next few minutes, she's asleep. 7 o'clock, she's already asleep. And then she sleeps till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Then she wakes up for night duty. That's the time she's going to wake up, she's going to read, she's going to move. And now, if you put up halogen lamp in our room, this light, put 5 of them, she will sleep. For me, if you use your phone, the talk light on your phone, I'll wake up. She needs to go to the toilet, she needs to use the bathroom, or she needs to pick something, or to take her Bible or something, to move her. Just movement, just touching the doors, I know that I'm awake. Just putting on the light, I'm awake. Do you understand?
Yes.
And she wants to, there are times she wakes up, and she wants to have private time just to lie on the bed and just be praying. Now, the moment you make twice, I'm awake. And I may not get the sleep. So, And yes, she needs this space. So if there's a utility room, I can move there, or she can move there, and then she can, you know, do all of her praying, do all of that without interrupting you. And it doesn't come every day, but it does happen. And if you don't have utility room, is the reason the man used to wake up and go and lie down in chair in the... Have you ever seen your father go to lie down in the living room? He said, hey, Papa, go inside now. He said, don't worry. He said, I will go later. If, because if he enters, Mama will wake him up. So he just needed that. So you need to understand that sometimes individuals in the relationship, they need to, it may be in the night, it may be in the day, they just feel like being alone. Don't trouble them. And the men, you know, there are times that the woman is just going through a season and just want to be alone. And you say, then, how are you? And she says, she's not fine. You say, what is happening to you? Are you sick? I'm not sick. I just feel like being alone. Say, I thought we should be together. He said, no, please, I just want to be. You need to be able to tell, you know, John Thomas to calm down. And said, Madam wants to be alone now. She just wants to be alone. I hope you understand my codes. So, personal space. There are times that we all need personal space. That should be respected. My wife does funny things. When she comes and I'm looking, she says, excuse me, I want to say something. He said, your eyes is telling me you want to be alone. Okay, I will come back later. She will go. No, because she's able to see that I need to be alone. And maybe 30 minutes later, she comes back and she sees I'm out of that quiet zone. I can now integrate. And then we flow. We all need time to unwind. Respect individual space. Next, respect the right to life and self-esteem. Don't say things that will demean your partner and try to make her feel bad about herself. And try to tell her things. She may come from a family that was not well to do, or that, you know, a very humble background or whatever. You do not plan that, you don't rub something negative in her face. And see, here is the definition of terms. Women need to be very careful to understand this. I think the men will like me for this. We use one word, we even define things differently. Look at it this way. When the woman says, I don't trust my husband, if he says, I don't trust my husband, it always, almost or every time they say that, it means infidelity. It's having an affair or something. If men say, I can't trust my wife, it has to do with managing information. And most women don't know that. If you say, hey, what did I do? Have I ever cheated on you? No. It's telling you that I told you a secret about myself and you used it against me when we were angry. Do you understand? And if you want to kill your man, one way to kill him is the secret she has told you when there was no problem. Now you are angry, you use it against her. He will never tell you anything anymore. Men, am I alright? You do not want to use the information he gave you and rub it on his nose. You need to make sure that that information is protected. You can't say, that's why you went to go and do this. That's why you say, I'm the one that came to tell you that this happened in my life. And then you use it to yourself. Okay, it's not your fault. You will never hear anything from me. Because nobody wants to be made to feel little. So you need to respect the individual's self-esteem and all that. If he has given you an information, for men, when they say, I don't trust my wife, it means she doesn't manage information well. Either she told somebody or she insults the man with that information, and you need to watch it. Then you need to respect right to fulfillment. Right to fulfillment. Every human being was created with a purpose and agenda to fulfill. Not just to be a wife or not just to be a husband. God gave your wife a job to do in your life. God gave you a job to do in her life. And both of you need to see that. You say, where is your passion? What do you feel like doing? When my friends and colleagues in ministry all told their wives to resign their job and come on full-time ministry, I never did with mine. Because I was trying to find out where her passion was. And eventually I found out that her passion was in education. She had her NC education. She did her BEd education. She went in to do master's in education technology. She did her PhD education technology. We have found out that her passion is in education. She's authored some books like myself and it's all on education. That's where her life is. That's where her passion is. That's how, where her God-given role. I remember one day she just came back and I was upstairs and I came down and I saw her. Four young girls had come to this thing. And they were all in the girls' room. And I said, "Madam, where did you get there?" He said, "They are my children, they are my students." And they brought all of them like that. They just spent the weekend, and sometimes she just import them from various places. They're just there. Because that's the way she reaches out to them. You get that now. And she has a gift of caring for people that I had to recognize that. You know, when we got married, the woman just, we just two, and she cooked a mudu of rice. I said, "Madam, what is going on?" She said, "In our house, that's how we used to cook. We cook plenty in case people come so that we serve them." I said, "This is not our house. This one is the new home we are trying to build." And I said, "If you cook one mudu of rice," I said, "we have to wait for people to come first." He said, "That means you'll go many times to the kitchen." I said, "Yes, let us go. I will support you, but don't be cooking one mudu of rice for two people." I said, "This thing is not..." Over 30 years after, if she's in the kitchen, either myself or the boys have to say, "Mommy, you are, this thing is too much, you calm down." Is she still just like that? And she's such a person. She was coming one day, and she said, I think she traveled somewhere, was coming a bus, and he saw a young boy, just about 17 or so. And he said, this boy was going to another state. Then she said to me, "You know, I mean, it's funny. I was just up there, and I was sitting in the living room, or is in my library." She said, she came upstairs, "Oh, you are welcome." He said, "You have a visitor." I said, "Where is he from?" He said, "Well, as I was coming, I saw the boy, and this is about 7 o'clock, and she's going to go to another state, and this boy, if anything happens to him, God is going to hold me accountable, because he's still going a long distance, and the boy is going to drop from this vehicle and pick another one, and the city is dangerous, and all that, so I have to bring him home so that he will stay, and then tomorrow she can go, at least my conscience will be clear that the boy didn't die." I said, "What is his name?" "I don't know." "What did he go to do where he's coming from?" "And he said they went for one business." "Together with who?" "I don't know." "Where exactly is he going?" "Is this town?" "Which part of that state?" "I don't know." "What is his father's name?" "Does he have anybody they can contact?" "I don't know." This one, I asked about 10 questions. My wife doesn't know any of them. I said, "Where did I get you from, chef? What is going on? Why will you not even ask questions?" So I came downstairs to look for the boy. The boy has sent the boy to the bathroom. The boy has showered, has eaten, was now in the living room watching television. She said to me, "Go and see him now. You are the one who knows all these questions." I said, "Why don't you know these questions, Yula? You know all these questions. Go and ask him by yourself." By the time I told, it was not necessary to ask. The boy was already at home. The boy has blended. He said, "The welcome, sir." I said, "You are welcome." And I just realized you can't deliver her out of that. You can only help to manage so she doesn't make mistakes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God has given individual roles to perform in life. You need to respect that and let them, you know, fulfill their God-given assignment. Then the right to thoughts. Now I'm about rounding up now. The right to personal thoughts and opinion. Don't always shut him down when he's talking. And don't shut her down. Everyone has right to personal thoughts and opinion. Your wife has an opinion. It's not a robot. It's not a machine. So you need to allow her to express herself. The children have their thoughts. They have their opinions. Speak to them. There are things you don't negotiate with children. When it's time to go to church, no negotiation. When it's time to go to work, no negotiation. Go to school, no negotiation. But if I want to go out, my children are very different. There's some of them that can walk up to me, "Dad, I want us to share something. I will talk." Another one is not going to come. So I have to say, "I don't know, can we drive out together?" He said, "I don't feel like going." I said, "Well, if we're coming back, we will go to Mr. Biggs. We go to this. That's my plan. Since you don't want to go," he said, "okay, I will go." And then, because I bet him to, because I want to have a personal conversation, and unless you go through where he has interest, he's not going to listen. So you need to know what each children, how to approach each of the children, how to get them listen. Listen to their opinion, listen to how they reason. Because God has given them senses and wisdom, and unless you know how they reason, you won't know how to counsel with them or work with them. Then there's the respect the right to make mistakes. Most of us don't understand that. Everybody has a right to make mistakes and recover from their mistakes. Okay? So respect the right for everybody to make mistakes. We all do. You make mistakes and I make mistakes. Let us respect the right. Is that okay? Then the next one is the right to love and be loved. Everybody is born with love in their hearts, and we decide to share it with somebody. Some decide to share their love with animals. Some decide to share their loves with objects or other things. But once you decide you want to share with somebody, give the love to them. Look, if you love a madman enough, the madness will go. Love is it. And some of these men, you say, my husband is so evil, my husband is not. It's just that you don't understand love. I remember our pastor told us in Baptist, he told us the story of a man and a woman who was always, you know, having, you know, quarrel and all that. And they were always quarreling, and he was settling, and he got tired. So he went and asked them, he said, look, I'm tired of settling this thing. He gave them two boxes. He gave the woman, he gave the man. He said, hold this. Anyone who does anything against another, write and put in this box. At the end of the month, I invite you. So he invited them. They opened the man's box, and there was nothing there. And the woman said, you see what I'm telling you? You see what I'm telling you? Here's the trouble in our house. They opened the woman's box, and it was filled up and was pouring out. And the pastor said, madam, I just discovered the source of your problem. You don't love your husband enough to forgive. You need to let things go. Why are you keeping record against the one you love? Love covers what? Okay, so I want to write up now. Then number two, or is it number two or number three? Of the first one is respect of the ruler. Yeah, ruler R. Okay, so now let's go to you. Understanding. You need to understand each other, and there are few things you need to understand. Number one, understand that no one has it all together. Everybody has got some fault or the other. I think these things are recorded, so you can always get the video or the audio. Number two, understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. When you know where your spouse is weak, you appreciate their contribution and you seek their support. Number three, understand each other's weaknesses. It will help you to understand their where they need compassion and empathy. If the person is not, you know, as strong as you are in an area, you know what? Very often, you know how we criticize each other. We criticize from the point of our strength. I'm organized, you are not. I'm good at remembering things, you are not. I'm good at this, you are not. So you use your strength against them, whereas you need to understand that she's strong in some area or he is strong in some area that you are not. So you need to understand their weaknesses and their strength. Okay, understanding the other person's likes and dislikes. Okay? Understand their likes and dislikes. If you know what the man likes and what the woman likes or not, or what they dislike, it will help you to surprise them. It will help you never to pull off the trigger. You know, don't pull off the trigger and just do that. And you know, I said to my boys often when they cook at home, and I come in and I say, hey guys, thank you, your meal is so beautiful, but please clean this gas, clean this stove up. Clean up this way and arrange this. I say, if mommy comes and this kitchen is dirty, she will not taste your food. She will not say thank you for the food you prepared. Because this is a trigger. So clean it up. Then she will come in, eat the food and thank all of you for it. You know what makes her tick. If you know her likes and dislikes, you can avoid the problems. And a lot of us are not careful enough to say, my wife, you know, to study your wife enough to know what she doesn't like and avoid them. And so the likes and dislikes, what's the next one? Number what? Understand their turn-offs with their dislikes. You know the likes and dislikes, okay? Then the next one is understand each other's dream spouse. Then you can contribute to his fulfillment. What does he dream her spouse will be like? What kind of dream do you have for your spouse? What do you envision as a young man? If she knows it, she will see how to help you fulfill that. And number, whatever number it is understand each other's love language. Okay? I think yesterday we spoke about that. The love languages. You need to know what is your wife. Some of you have been married now for so many years, you don't even know what your love language is or your wife's love language. And if you don't know, you can't speak in the language. You know, if a woman likes, I gave you an illustration of myself. My love language is quality time together. I just, if you love me enough, I want you to stay with me. Just spend some time. I like you to hang around me. Let's just stay together without doing anything. Just talk, you know. But my wife doesn't, she can't stay still. She's very active. And her love language is, you say, I love you. You say, see the student script I'm marking now. Come and help me mark it if you love me. So in other words, unless you offer services, she doesn't understand that you love her. So it's act of love. Some other persons, they said, I remember somebody told, you know, was complaining to me. The husband went to Ghana, so I bought some gold along, and then and gave the woman a check of 500,000. The woman told me, he said, Pastor, come and see your friend. He said, that man is a joker. I said, what happened? He said, he went to Ghana, he bought charcoal, he called him gold. Then gave me check, 500,000. Tell him to take it, if not, tear it to pieces. I said, what happened? He said, when I did my hair, he didn't even see that I made my new hair. In other words, the man's language is giving. That's his love language. But the woman's love language is words of affirmation. Oh, your hair is so beautiful. This is good. I will pay for it the second time. How much is it? You know, and that, you know, that just me. And she can go the whole day and say, my husband said my hair is beautiful. The time she was telling me this, she was in her 50s, about 55. And he's not ready to. He said, the man doesn't see me when I make my hair. And now he's giving me, what do I do with 500,000? When the man doesn't know that I made a new hair. Mommy, what do you think about it? You understand? It's the love language. The love language simply says, you need to speak in her language. She wants to know. So words of affirmation or gifts or act of service or non-sexual touch. Is that okay? I think I'm going to stop here. Okay, the third one, the ruler, the third one, the L, is learning. Learn a lesson from everything and everyone. Learn a lesson from everything and everyone. It will increase knowledge. Number two, learn from your past mistakes. Learn from your past mistakes. Don't allow the same mistake to keep repeating. She forgave you of one infidelity. Don't go back again into another one. Learn from your past mistakes. Number three, learn to forgive and forget. Thank God for the women. Amen. They will remind you all those things. So just learn to forgive and forget. You know, I know some people will say, well, you told me not to be repeating the past. I'm not trying to repeat you. I'm just trying to say. So learn to forgive and forget. Number four, learn to express your opinions and your feelings. In fact, one of the signs of a bad marriage is when you are unable to express your feelings, your true thoughts and feelings. So learn to express your thoughts and feelings. Then learn to manage your resources. Learn to manage your resources. If the thing is not much, you cannot be going to supermarket or shop right where the prices are non-negotiable to buy everything. You may need to go to Oba. There's Oba here, who? Somewhere. Go to a distant market, go buy those things and bring them here. You may need to travel out. That's what the woman in Proverbs 31 does. She goes to a distant place, buys things, manage resources. Learn to receive compliments and to give compliments. You know, most of us don't know how to receive compliments. Pastor, I like your suit. Thank you. Just keep quiet. He said, this whole thing now, we just 1,500 now bend down boutique. Who asked you? Who asked you? They say it looks good on you. Thank you. And make sure no. You don't have to talk. Just learn to receive compliment. And then you say, I didn't know. And the hair you are placing now is the only 50 cover I did it. Nobody wants to know. It looks good on you. Just keep quiet. So learn to receive compliment. Okay? I told you the story of somebody who didn't receive compliment and how I taught her the lesson. Okay? So learn to receive. Then learn new skills, including communication, management, relationship, and all that. Learn new skills. You need to know how to talk to your wife. You need to know how to present something to your husband. You know what he wants to hear. Tell him those things first before you present those things, your needs, you know. You know those things. You need to know how it works. You know, you need to know how it works and communicate. And the last one concerning the first L is learn from a mentor. We taught you before, don't share anything in your marriage with anybody. That is not good enough. You need a mentor in marriage. You have daddies and mommies that have been married for many years. If you are coming into it, get one of them as your family mentor to help counsel. The mama counsels your wife, the daddy counsels you, and tell you this is, you know, this part of learning process. That is one of the things these young people say, well, hey, we don't want to talk to. You know, one of my children wanted to marry somebody, and he said, the lady doesn't want me to share with anybody. I said, that's not going to be a good marriage. Everything has to stop. Because if you don't want to ask for a mentor, you're not going to go far. You're not going to go far. You need a mentor in your life. Then the next L is love. Remember first Corinthians chapter 13. You know, we are talking about ruler. Love, which is the second L now, is love. You must keep in mind that love is the key to longevity. And only individual who truly loves God can love them, and love themselves can love others. So love your partner. Pour the whole love on him. If he disappoints, God is going to hold him accountable. The next one is E, expression. Learn to express yourself. Express your feelings, express your joy, express your heart, express best moment, express, you know, in your old age, you will have been thankful that you had time to express yourself. So if you truly love each other, look for the other to express it. Express your love through giving and reward system. The last thing there is reward. Okay? The last R there is reward. What does that mean? You must find a way of rewarding your wife or your husband. Just consciously get them something as a reward. Just find a way. You know, we look forward to it. Give him some surprises. Give her some surprises. Do something that you've never done before. You know, just arrange for it. You know, one time I just arranged and I told my wife, I don't care your excuses. I don't care how you feel. You are going to the U.S. And I arrange and send her, got her Canadian passport, her Canadian visa and her U.S. visa. I said, he said, but you have to go. I don't care how you feel. The next 3 weeks, you are out of this country to the U.S. You're going to rest. And I called the person there. Thank you. Pick her at the airport. She's coming. I passed with her. Go. You understand what I'm saying? And when she came back, she said, I think next time we'll go together. I said, hey, you're welcome now. You see, she has been working, but it's my job to arrange a reward system. Do you understand what I'm saying? And now the year is running to an end. Just surprise your husband with a reward. Just do something. Save some money. Do something. Just do something for the man. Make him feel loved. Make him like the king that you dream him to be. Maybe it's a special dress you make for him. Maybe it's a special dish he likes. Maybe it's a special, something special. Just give him this. Just give him a reward. Maybe you want to get him out of there and say, children, take care of the house. Daddy and I are going out. We'll come back tomorrow. Check him into a hotel and say, I just came to surprise you. You're going to stay here and rest. You've been working so much. You understand? And it can be so, so good. And just find a way of, you know, rewarding each other. And you know, marriage is a journey. And stopping along the way to share something good is good. Just reward the other person. Okay? How many of you are going to do something about all that we've learned? Let's rise up on our feet and let's have a word of prayer together. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Just bless him. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise.